Because it is becoming dark, we only have but a few minutes that we're able to speak. We are sitting at Udavkyari. We've been hearing for the last several days Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings as they have been practiced and presented by our beloved acharyas. Union and separation. To learn to feel the presence of Lord Krishna. In the sense of separation. Narottam Das Thakur has written that beautiful prayer, Yaya Nilo Premadana, where he's expressing his very, very deep separation from Lord Chaitanya, from all the previous acharyas, and from his own beloved associates who had left this world to rejoin the eternal lila of the spiritual world. Where is Srinivasacharya, his very dear friend? Where is Rupan Sanatan? Where is Swarup Damodar Goswami? Where is Raghunath Das to be found? Where is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami? They have all gone to join that great golden dancer, Mahaprabhu. And being left in this world, I can only smash my head against the rock in separation. Raghunath Das Goswami, in one prayer, expressed his feelings of separation from Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. The Jamuna appears like a place of poison. The beautiful Govardhan Hill appears like a big python about to devour me. The heart of a Vaishnava is very mysterious and difficult to understand. We read of Lokanath Goswami. After Rupan Sanatan left this world, he was simply crying day and night in separation from them. Raghunath Das Goswami, after Lord Chaitanya and Swarup Damodar left the world, he came here to Vrindavan with the only intention of jumping from Govardhan Hill to take his life. It was only by the order of Rupan Sanatan that he continued to live in separation on the banks of Radhakund. In meeting the love of our heart manifests externally toward the object of our love. But in separation, that love goes deeper and deeper into the core of the heart. So in this spiritual world, Sambhog and Vipralamba, union and separation, are inseparable aspects of ecstatic love. even in union, we find the ecstasies of separation. Prema Vaichitya. Not far from here is Prem Sarovar. There Sri Radharani was sitting on a beautiful seat with Lord Sri Krishna. And a black bumblebee saw her beautiful lotus fleet and considered the lotus flowers and began to hover around. That bumblebee smelt the sweetness of her breath and considered it honey and was swarming around her. So Krishna, seeing that this was causing a disturbance, called for Madhu Mangal. Madhu Mangal picked up a stick, said, because one name for bee is Madhu, said, "Madhu, get out of here. I am the guard here. You have no right to be here." He started waving his stick and chastising that bee and chased that bee far away. And Madhu Mangal very proudly came back and said, "Madhusudan is gone and he will never return." Radharani, when she heard Madhusudan is gone, she was thinking he's talking about Krishna, Madhusudan. She began to cry, tears flowing from her eyes. "Madhusudan is gone. How will I live? Where has he gone?" She looked all around, and although Krishna was sitting right next to her, touching her, she was so blinded with the fear of separation, she didn't even see him. When she looked at him, she only saw a reflection of herself, crying, "Madhusudan is gone," and beating against her heart, she fell to the ground, incessant tears flowing. When Krishna saw her love in separation, when he's right beside her, that love utterly conquered him, and he began to cry, and he fell to the ground. The confluence of the tears of Radha and Krishna filled up that lake known as Prem Sarovar. When there is separation, it makes the sweetness, the intensity, and the joy of meeting ever more wonderful. And when there is meeting, it makes the intensity of separation ever more intense. So union and separation, achintya bheda bheda tattva. This is one of the eternal aspects of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. And the six Goswamis taught us how to cultivate this sentiment of separation. Where we are today symbolizes one of the very highest realms of separation in all of Brajbhumi and all of creation. Kamsa sent demon after demon to try to kill Krishna and Balaram, but every one of them was slain. So he went into a fury, a fear. So he sent, at the last stage of Krishna's lila here in Nandagaon, we read in Krishna book, Srimad Bhagavatam, how Kamsa was just sending one demon after another. There was Aristasura, there was Keshi, there was Vyomasura, practically in the same chapter they were all coming. Powerful demons. Aristasura, Keshi, Vyomasura. Krishna slayed them all. And Kamsa was constantly getting this news. He was in such paranoia. He came to the conclusion, "I have to get Krishna out of Vrindavan. If I bring him to Mathura, in my court, in my home, then he will be slain. So he arranged Kuvalayapida, Chanura Mustika, so many plans to assassinate Krishna and Balaram. And he sent Akrura. Very good diplomat. He knew Akrura was a devotee, and he loved Krishna. So on Akrura's appeal, Krishna would come. When Krishna went on that chariot with Akrura, when he invited to Mathura, what arrows of flaming pain was caused to the hearts of the Brijabasis. The gopis all night were plotting and planning how to stop Akrura from taking Krishna. They were laying their bodies in front of the chariot wheels, begging, pleading, crying for Krishna Balaram not to go. But Krishna promised them, "I will soon return." And the whole of Vrindavan watched as the chariot went into the horizon. And after it could no longer be seen, they simply watched the dust raised on the pathway. Nanda Maharaj and some of the senior cowherd men went to Mathura. Krishna and Balaram killed the great elephant. Then they conquered Chanura Mushtika. And ultimately, Krishna dragged Kamsa by the hair into the wrestling arena and smashed him to death. Devaki and Vasudev suffered such intense separation for over 10 years while Krishna was living in Vrindavan. Krishna felt obliged. He told Nanda Maharaj, "I cannot leave Vasudev and Devaki now. I will return soon. Give this message to all of Vrindavan. You go back." Days, weeks, months, Krishna did not return. He remained in Mathura for 28 years. And then in Dwarka for 96 years. While in Mathura, Krishna would weep, he would cry in the agony of separation of the Brijabasis. And the Brijabasis could do nothing but weep and cry in the agony and separation from him. He tried to explain to his dearest friend Uddhava about his heart's feelings toward the residents of Vrindavan. But it was impossible for Uddhava to understand this. So Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan on the same chariot that Akrura took him away from, for two reasons. To give letters to the residents of Vrindavan, assuring them that Krishna is always remembering them. They should always remember him and that he will return. And also, out of his mercy, he wanted Uddhava to understand what is the love of Brajbhumi. Uddhava had a similar bodily complexion and features as Krishna himself. They were cousins. Krishna, just to make it authorized that Uddhava was truly his representative, even gave Uddhava his own clothes to wear. When Uddhava arrived in Vrindavan, he saw the gopas. There was Sridhama and Subal, Stoka Krishna, Vasudam, Ujvala, Arjun. Simply weeping. When they saw Uddhava, they came running. They thought it was Krishna, but then they saw it was not. Uddhava embraced them. Where is Krishna? When will he return? This was the message of the cowherd boys. Sri Dhamma was crying out that since Krishna has left, a moment seems like a yuga. An hour seems like a manvantara. And a day seems like the lifetime of Brahma. Krishna has stolen our hearts. Beg him, appeal to him to return our property to us. Krishna is very fond of stealing. He feels he has that right to steal. But all those years we were thinking that he's just a cowherd boy, he's just a friend. Perhaps we offended him, perhaps we mistreated him, and he has left us forever, dying in misery. Uddhava gave letters to the cowherd boys and promised them that when I return to Mathura, I will fall at Krishna's feet, I will beg him, I will demand him, he must come back to Vrindavan. Then he went to Nanda Bhavan. This is all taking place here in Nandagaon. He went to Nanda Bhavan where we had our kirtan and darshan today. And he met Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj welcomed him. Knowing he was a messenger of Krishna, Nanda Maharaj began to reveal his heart. What a miserable existence. Since Krishna has left us, we have nothing to live for. The Jamuna, the Govardhan Hill, the forests of Vrindavan, the whole world and the entire universal creation is like a big pit of poison. And every moment we dread. Living is worse than death. He was weeping, he was crying. All of his clothes, the cushions he was sitting on were saturated with tears from his eyes. Uddhava was trying to promise him that Krishna will return. Uddhava said, "You are so fortunate. I have never seen such love as yours." Nanda Maharaj said, "You are immature and foolish. You think I'm fortunate? If a person has a most valuable diamond and thinks it's an ordinary stone, doesn't properly protect it, and it gets lost, is that person fortunate? That person is most unfortunate." Krishna was living amongst us. He's living in my own home. But I did not take proper care. I did not give proper love. And therefore he has left us. No one is more unfortunate than me. As Nanda Maharaj fell to the ground. And Yashoda Mai, she came running, Uddhava's messenger of Krishna. Uddhava was struck with wonder. He saw Yashoda Mai. Although Krishna was grown up, there was milk flowing from her breasts, soaking her sari and her clothes in motherly affection just at the thought of Krishna. Yashoda Mai, when Krishna was in the pasture grounds, she would sometimes come out to the pasture grounds 10-20 times a day to make sure Krishna was all right, to make sure he had enough food. A moment without Krishna, practically her eyes would be blinded with tears. And here Krishna was in a foreign land, months and years away. Does he remember me? Does he remember how I would feed him milk? Does he remember how he would sit on the lap of his father Nanda? Will he ever return? How unfortunate. What have we done to suffer in this way? In this way, Nanda and Yashoda, just in transcendental madness, went on and on and on and on and on, almost in a delirium, discussing Krishna's quality, his beauty, and his pastimes. Uddhava was promising them, Krishna will return. I will insist. I guarantee. Give up your sorrow. He will return. He will be amongst you again. And then he came to this place where we are sitting now. Here he met Srimati Radharani and the Braja Gopis. Sri Radharani and Gopis, their separation is topmost, because the intimacy and sweetness of their love is of the highest order. Sri Radharani would weep and make a whole pond of tears below her feet. Then she would faint and fall in that pond. And because she was burning so much in separation, instantly, all the water would evaporate. Just crying out Krishna's name. Where is Krishna? When will he return? He has stolen my heart. Uddhava gave her Krishna's letter, where Krishna promised that he would return, that he was never separated from them, because in remembering him, he will always be with them. Sri Radharani saw a bird above. That bird happened to be flying in the direction of Mathura. Uddhava saw her, crying out to the bird, please give this message to Shyam Sundar. Please do not be cruel. Release me. Let me die. My body is like a cage. My soul is like an animal living trapped in that cage. But this cage is burning with a ravaging fire of separation. My soul wants to leave this body, but it cannot, because the door is bolted. It cannot escape. That bolt is Krishna's promise that he will return. Hope against hope, he has given us that assurance. Therefore, we cannot die. But we cannot live. How she was weeping. How she was falling unconscious and coming back to consciousness in the ecstasies of separation from Krishna. And then a bumblebee happened to buzz by, and she took note that it had a black complexion. And immediately she remembered Krishna. You are an irresponsible messenger of an irresponsible master. And she began to speak to the bumblebee, delivering the sorrow of her heart to Krishna. No one should ever see Krishna. No one should ever think of Krishna. What Krishna does to people's lives. If a father has a first newborn son, if he hears the name of Krishna, he will leave his son, he will leave his wife forever for Krishna. A mother The mother will leave her baby children, leave her protective husbands, leave her loving father, mother, and family members, leave the security of her home and run into the forest for Krishna. Any attachments anyone has are finished. But then after Krishna steals your heart from everything and everyone, then he leaves you to suffer. We do not want to remember Krishna. We do not want to speak about Krishna, but we cannot stop crying out, Krishna, just take away that promise and let us die. When will Krishna return? When Uddhava saw Sri Radharani speaking such words as this, revealing such ecstatic emotions of love, it was here, at Uddhava Kyari, that Uddhava realized that the highest love is the love of the gopis. He wanted to fall at their feet, worship the dust of their feet. So in the core of his heart, he prayed. He prayed. Let me become a creeper. Let me become a little piece of grass laying in the ground of Vrindavan forever. So that the gopis and their maidservants may trample my head with their feet. Here at Uddhava Kyari, Uddhava realized that compared to Sri Radharani, the gopis, the gopas, Nanda and Yashoda, even the cows and the birds and the peacocks of Vrindavan, their intensity of love and separation made his love utterly insufficient and insignificant, although he was the dearest associate of Krishna in Mathura. Uddhava was trying to somehow or other convince Sri Radharani and the gopis that he will make sure Krishna soon returns to Vrindavan. He tried. But he realized all his attempts to pacify them were like putting a drop of water on a raging universal forest fire. But still, he tried. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Gambira, especially the last 18 years of his manifested lila in this world, he was immersed deeply in the ocean of Sri Radharani's feelings of separation from Krishna. We read about his transformations. Sometimes he would see the ocean in the moonlight and think it was Jamuna and jump in. And fishermen pulled him out with net. And his limbs were elongated. Every one of his joints was disjointed with several inches of just flesh between it. His complexion was pale. And there was just a gurgling sound as he was deeply internally in ecstasy. Other times he would escape from Gambira and he would find at the Singhadwaram, and all of the limbs of his body went into his trunk. He appeared like a pumpkin. And the cows were lipping him. The transformations of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasies and separation or something that are the deepest mystery in the universe, the highest ecstasies. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sentiments during these times was similar, not similar, but the same as Srimati Radharani's feelings of separation when she met Uddhava as Krishna's messenger here at Uddhava Kyari in Vrindavan. Our acharyas teach us how to long and to pray. Kabe habe bolo se dinama. Kabe goravani. Mahabhaktivinoda Thakur is singing, when will I taste the sweet nectar of the holy name? When, oh, when will that day be mine? When will I be mad in ecstasy while roaming down the banks of the Ganges and Sri Navadweep Dham? Narottam Das Thakur is praying, Goranga bolite habe pulakasari. When will that day come when upon recitation of the name of Lord Goranga, my hairs will stand on end, tears will fill my eyes, and when I chant Hari Hari, when will my voice choke with emotion? We cannot artificially impose these feelings on our mind, but with honesty and with dignity, we should hold these feelings of separation as the highest aspirations of the greatest acharyas, the most sublime devotional mellows of the spiritual world. And we should perform our service. We should chant, we should hear, we should serve Vaishnavas. Obey the orders of Guru Parampara with this hope that some love will enter my heart. Mahaprabhu jumped in Ganga to take his life. When Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur took him out, he said, why have you saved my life? Human birth is meant to love Krishna. If I had even a particle of love of Krishna, I would have died in separation. But the fact that I'm still breathing means I have no love. This is real humility. To actually cultivate real love in separation, to actually make real progress in the path of Braj Bhakti, one must absolutely apply Lord Chaitanya's teaching to our life. Trinadapi sunichena taror ivasihishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadani. Why should we be proud? What do we have? We can speak something, we can sing something, we look like something, we have something. But where is our love? Where is Krishna in our heart? If we're honest, if we're sincere, we have to become completely humble. And the more advancement we make, the deeper is our humility. The more we understand Krishna's glories and Krishna's greatness, the more we realize how insignificant and unqualified we are to serve. And that is an ecstasy, because it's the ecstasy of love. Uddhava returned to Mathura. Rupa Goswami wrote a beautiful book, the Uddhava Sandesh. Uddhava returned after Krishna instructed him of his ecstasies of love. When Uddhava returned, he was begging Krishna to return. And when he saw Krishna's reactions, Krishna's intense spiritual emotions of love by hearing of the love of the Brijabasis. He understood what is ras, what is loving reciprocation. As Krishna loves the gopas and gopis love Krishna. This is Vrindavan. This is the tattva of Uddhav Kyari. So with honesty and sincerity, let us pray sincerely from our hearts. Pray to Sri Radha Gopinath, Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Govinda Dev. Pray to Arishta Dev. Pray to Sri Vrindavan Dham to bless us with the causeless mercy by which we can be genuinely honest, and sincere, and humble in our aspiration for pure, unalloyed devotional service. That the prema dana, the purushartha siddhamani, the crest jewel of all wealth, that love of God, if even a particle of a drop from the ocean of the love of the great souls can somehow or other penetrate this hard, stone-like heart, then my existence will have some value. Let us pray that with all humility we can serve the Lord's dear devotees, that we can always remain faithful to the service and the vows of our spiritual masters. That we could chant the holy name of the Lord in such a way that Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar will be pleased with us. Uddhava, when seeing the love of the Brijabasis, understood that this love is not attained by studying the scriptures, by penances, by austerity, by yoga practices. It can only be attained by the causeless mercy of Sri Radha Gopinath. There's no other way. Let us pray. Let us pray to Sri Guru and Gauranga for that mercy. And if we pray sincerely here, Uddhav Kyari, the place of Viparalamba, our prayer will certainly be fulfilled. Radhe Jayo Krishna, Jayo Vrindavana. Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohana Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavana Jaya Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohana. Srila Prabhupada has bestowed upon us this most precious, matchless gift. Let us bow our heads in gratitude to his lotus feet.
For those of you who came here to Uddhava Kyari some years ago during our yatras, we came here several times before. You'll remember this was a very dense, thick forest. Do you remember? Haribo. But the local people cut down the forest.
It's much easier to get to now. But it is a lesson. Things that are difficult to attain are very, very, very special when you get there. Of course, this is supremely special, eternally. But when these holy places become changed to our material vision in this way, we have to learn to appreciate them not just with our physical eyes. Last time we came to Uddhava Kyari, everyone was remarking, what a charming, beautiful grove. We could just see Uddhava coming and meeting Sri Radha and Gopis in this beautiful little clearing in a thick forest. Now it is a field, and there's this nice throne. In fact, they asked me to sit on it to speak. But Haribo, that is Radharani's throne. We cannot see the holy places simply with our eyes. We have to see with our hearts, with our faith, from what we hear. The intensity, the purity, the spiritual dignity of these holy places is eternal. It cannot in any way be adulterated or changed by the hands of mortal men. But by faith, by sincere service, Krishna reveals. Let us pray that we can serve. We can serve Guru and Vaishnavas so sincerely that Krishna will be pleased upon us. There's no other goal or purpose in life. Thank you very much. Vanshakalpatrubhyascha kripa sindhubhyeva cha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo.